Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, everybody. You'll have to excuse us. We're a little behind, 2 minutes behind. We're having some raining and some storming and some all of those other things. But let me tell you, God is still on the throne. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And we have a vision that no one can turn aside, because when God puts something on your heart and your mind and your soul through His Spirit, it shall be done. Hallelujah to all of you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Well, we have a lot to talk about this morning, my goodness, because we've already mapped out the 2024 year so that you and your family, your friends can benefit from a renewed revival-like vision for what God has said He's going to put on earth. He said, I'm going to put in the hearts of men to follow me through my son, Christ Jesus, the one whom I sent forth. And you are included. Colonel Harrison is with us today. Many of you are today. I see some of you scrambling to get back on. Please forgive us. We mean business for the Lord. But our topic, same as last week and before, we're talking about death, because so many people are taking death lightly. Some don't even believe in death until they're dead. I mean, oh my God, this thing is scary. But we're going to talk about for a few moments, just as a follow-up, about death. Who created him? Yes, he's in the masculine. Don't get mad, man. Death. Who created him and why? And if anyone want to ask, well, then how do you know it's masculine? Well, if you know anything about the English language, if you look at the consonants or you look at the verbs, or if you look at the A-E-I-O-U vowel system, the universal vowel system, if I only see one vowel, oh, my God, that's a masculine word. Remember that. You want to be speakers. You people already talking, so that you can make it plain, as Bishop James Mims used to say. He would give these young men a chance to get up there with a message. And he'd sit there rocking back and forth with his bald head. Make it plain, boy. Make it plain. So that's what we're doing here. But death, who created him and why? Colonel Harrison, jump in there, because our time is fine. Let's talk again about the follow-up and follow-through about death. We did such a great job. That's what I heard. You did such a great job the last 2 weeks on this. So here we are again. Who created death? Is death really a creation?
Actually, death, not so. Good morning, Dr. Cupcine and listener.
Yes, I'm just going to say that. Give us a greeting, sir.
Yes, my man is first. God brought forth death as a judgment against the first man, Adam and Eve, and he commanded them not to partake of fruit in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago, and if they did, the consequence that they would surely die for their disobedience. So death was brought forth by God as a punishment, because God commanded man and woman not to eat from that certain tree. And so when they violated God's commandment, then death came into the world. But before that, mankind, Adam and Eve, first man and woman, were created by God to live for a time without end, which is called eternity.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here now. We're talking about one thing. We're going to concentrate. Okay, death. So are you saying yes or no? Pretend like you're in a courtroom. We aren't ready for the sermon yet, but God, Jehovah God, Psalm 83:18, God, did God, Jehovah, create death? That's a yes or no answer.
Yes, death.
Did God create death? We're going to get further into that.
Yes. Yes, if you look at it from that respect, God created death.
Okay, now, if we establish that, because many, the last 2 weeks, did not really get that. So the answer is yes, God created death. He created death through an edict that he gave Adam and Eve. That's it. Now, why did God create death? That's our next tag on to that first question. Why did God create death?
I'm sorry, Doc. Say it again, please.
Why did God create death?
God created heaven and earth and everything therein.
We've established that God created that. Why did he do that?
Just a slight different perspective. Death was a commandment by God. If you want to look at it in the form of commandment instead of a creation, it was a commandment by God, which would be a punishment for the first man and woman if they become disobedient to God. They did, and so they violated God's commandment, and death was the consequence and the penalty that God put in place. I'll say it that way, and hopefully that will help.
Well, I sure hope it will, because there's a few professors, college, university men and women that are relying on the global vision we're living today to be correct and to stand on the correctness that they're talking about. Death. Who created death? We've established, without a reference to a scripture, we're going to get to that, that God is the one that created death. Now, why? Why did God create death? He put an edict out there for the first man and woman. And he told them in all and in so many words that if you in this garden walk up to a tree that I have planted in the middle of this garden for food and you touch that, you shall surely die. We know the serpent came in behind God and said, is it really so? There's a serpent in everybody's life, trying to make a commendation against the creator, the one that created death. God created death through an edict. And, of course, the first two fell through on that. But now the question was then, why would God create? Why would he pull man out of clay, molten dust, clay, dirt, create and then put him to sleep thousands of years later? When the next day? And here come a woman from his rib. Why? Because he, God, wanted to show that he's sovereign. What he say, go. What he do is it. What God commands shall surely be. Why? Because, now here's some hands. Okay, was it to test? Colonel Harrison was a God in the testing business. Did he do that to test them, or did God tell them not to eat of that because he wanted to know what and where their loyalty was? Talk to us about that and speak up a little louder.
Yeah, it was a combination of both. It was more that God wanted to see whether man would be loyal to him or loyal to an outside influence, which happened to be the serpent that was in the garden. Okay, so, and it was also a form of test, of a test to Adam and Eve. God had clearly in Genesis chapter 2, the Christian Bible, told the first man, Adam, about that tree, the consequences of it, not to eat of that tree. The day that he did, he would surely die. And then we fast forward to Genesis chapter 3. God made Eve, the woman, in the end of chapter 2 of Genesis. And then in chapter 3, the serpent is talking to the woman, and the woman violated God's commandment and ate the fruit from the forbidden tree and gave it to Adam, the man who God commanded not to, and Adam also ate. And so death was a consequence of the penalty. But Adam knew, because God foretold him what not, and so Adam disobeyed God. God held Adam, the man, accountable more so than the woman, because the woman was not given the commandment. The commandment was given to the man, Adam. So it was a test, but also God wanted to see would Adam remain loyal to him who created Adam from the dust of the earth.
My goodness, that is so true. And that's why just about in every book of the Bible, a reader's conscience is seared, because he not only has to read and learn what the Bible has to say, but he has to get into the mind of God. I read an article this week that said that mankind, flesh and blood man, is not operating from the human mind. He is not commanding armies with a human mind. Other demonic forces has entered into some, if not all. And they are commanding men into a hell-like situation, conscious seared, Nobody wants to do right, live right. They got some kind of excuse why they can't. Oh, well, he should have told me. He told you through his word. And then when his agents tell you through his word and you still don't do, that is a demonic-led mind. There just ain't no way about it. And anything in behind them is of that. That's right. The Bible says train them up. Train them up. So right now, here we are. We've established death. Who created a death? Psalm 83:18, God almost say, probably can say that man himself created death through his disobedience. Nothing was dying. No animals, no nothing, 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 nothing was dying. The Bible doesn't even talk about an insect dying in Genesis. But guess what? The fact that man, in his so-called non-infinite reason, wants to rule his own self, want to be his own God, want to talk about God and not do what God say. I mean, hallelujah. Somebody rise up and say, thank you, Jesus. Death is also a cleansing, cleanser. We're going to get into that. Death is also something that moves man to think, sit down, stand up, sit back down and think, well, what really is this God? I can't see him. I don't know him. I haven't been nowhere around him, but what is this God that they're talking about? And why? Always disobedience. Colonel Harrison, give us a couple of examples in the Bible of how man perished through their disobedience, because we all know why now. Death, who created him? Him, masculine, him. And why? Give us two examples from the scriptures of those that went against God, knowing they're going to die. Give us two examples of what happened to those that went against God. Wow, you got to hurry up. Where are you, Colonel Harrison?
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
Come on now. Open up. Come on. We're on the schedule, man.
Okay. Pose your question again, Doc, please.
Okay, I'm going to pose it again, but now don't you let nobody down. Let Satan down, but don't come on the show and let us down. The question was, give us two examples of people, tribes, nations, groups, individuals that went against God and faced death.
Well, we can look to, I guess, the earlier nation.
I don't want you to guess. Don't guess. Give us two examples of people, kingdoms, groups, nations that went against God. I don't want to do it. I can. Don't trip my tongue. I don't want to do it. Give us two examples of those that went against God. And, of course, he had already prophesied they were going to die. They were going to be wiped out. Give us two examples. The Bible has hundreds of examples. Give us two, please,
yeah.
Sir, minister.
Yes. I'll use Genesis 19 as a reference. There were twin cities called Sodom and Gomorrah in the Middle East, and they were committing all kinds of transgressions, iniquities, and wrongdoing against God. God had sent word for them to change. The people refused to change, and God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed the twin cities. To this day, no one has been able to find any reference or any artifacts to show that those two twin cities existed, because they were wiped off the face of the earth.
Okay, give us another one. I'm going to let y'all look. Give us another one.
The other one is the second kingdom, which was the Babylonian kingdom. And they were the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was the ruler of the earth. They became very disobedient. They were worshiping idol gods. They didn't believe in the true and living God, God Jehovah. And that nation was overtaken by another nation, and to this day, that nation is no longer in existence. It was replaced by the Persian nation, which is now modern-day Iran. And so the Babylonian kingdom was the second one that was disobedient to God, that God dispensed with, disposed of.
Oh, my God, that is scary even hearing that, but it is so true. That's why the Global Vision for Living Today podcast, we come to you, we come at you, and we come with you with some of the greatest excerpts of the Bible, so that if you don't have time to sit down and read the 66 books of the Bible, you don't have time, send me an email, because there's a system that you could use overnight, earphones, and well, I don't want to take up the time now on it, but send me something, and I can show you how to listen to the Bible in about 6 months and know everything about it. Okay, now, let me say something. I like that Sodom and Gomorrah example, so much so that I'm writing an excerpt on the daughters of Lot's wife. It's going to be cold-blooded. You know, I'm an author. I've written several books. The Daughters of Lot's Wife. I'm working on one now, The Family of Judas, because people think, oh, well, that's the old book. You know, that's the end of it. You know, I didn't read it. That's it. No. The generations come and they go. The generation of Judas's family line is here amongst us today. Whoever and whatever that seed of that man Judas, it done jumped in one of them. Okay, and we're going to hear about the daughters of Lot's wife, why some of them, even some women now, we could even point to prostitution, but that's for another time. Colonel Harrison, thank you so much for that. Now we are going to revisit this, death, who created him and why, next week, because I'm kind of, since I can't get to all of you guys with your answers and whatever, but we're going to move on now to 2024. Many of you, thousands of you, have hung in here with us all year, last year, almost 300 episodes. And I know some of you are asking, well, what else are you going to do? What else can I do? Nicodemus, royalty. The government of Rome, from the government of Rome, came and asked the old hungry-looking man, what must I do to be saved? Well, you ask for it, and you're going to get it. 2024 is going to open up as a blockbuster for some of you that are still struggling with biblical teachings, biblical writings, and you're saying, oh, I don't know where to go. You know, I keep hearing you guys say that, I need to go find a church. I don't know. Lord have mercy. How am I going to find something without the power of God? So 2024, we're going to open that up January with our Zoom Revivalist membership message. You'll hear more about it next week. We're getting it together, but keep your calendar open. It's going to be the first week in January of 2024. We're going to talk about these two book excerpts I just mentioned. We're going to talk about the beginning of the World Leaders for Christ movement. Any of you can join that. We need you. If you're a leader going around talking, you got more of this means of life, stop being a coward. Come on and join the World Leaders for Christ through the International Platform for Peace. You know, that moniker stands for peace, faith, and family. We're going to have a section of young people, 18 to 40, gathering of the saints. We might change that last name, saints, but we want you to gather, almost like the Native Americans did. They would go out there in the deep forests of desert, and they'd set up a couple of teepees, but they would sit around the fire. Hallelujah. Read your Bible on that. Just Google that. We're going to have a gathering to find out what these young people want. People are throwing the city and counties throwing money at them. A couple of blankets here and there. Makeshift shelter. Come on and become part of the gathering of the saints. Get some of these young people that are want to be killers, want to be murderers, want to be something that their destiny has not even put in the cells of their DNA. Everybody was born with a purpose. You got to find it out. You, if you go outside of your purpose, you're a dead man. Just a matter of time. You're a dead woman. It's just a matter of time. Those living on 2 feet can look in your eyes and tell you you're dead. You're dead. But they're like, oh, hi. You're dead. We want these gatherings of the saints, you young people, to come on. You are our hope through the one called Jehovah, Psalm 83:18. State marches in 49 states. Before COVID, we had a program for that. Now we're going to open it back up again. People is calling out for me, say, what must I do? Not only to be saved, you're already saved if you're calling out to God to give you some more responsibility. It's more than eating and sleeping. You're going to just do that till you die? Oh, wait a minute. You might already be dead. State marches in these 49 states. I want you guys to make sure that when our emails go out this coming week, the January Revival Assembly, you talk about being an assemblyman for the city, stop the joke. Get on God's program. An assemblywoman for Christ, assemblyman for God. Get on board, because only what we do for God is going to count. You get money, you feed them. Whatever you think you big enough to do for anybody outside of God, hallelujah, you better get it straight, because nothing but what we do for God is going to count. Now, I want to ask Colonel Harrison something. Colonel Harrison, what do you think about all of this information that we just brought forward to the people? Is any of this going to help them? We got January, we got February program, we got a March coming to Washington. April, we got a White House tour. We got something to say to them. Memphis, Tennessee in May. Back to L.A. for our conference. And then here we go again. Global Revival by Fire. Some people ain't going to do nothing unless you strike up a fire up under. They speak the fire of God, fire from the mouth of God. Well, here we are. Colonel Harrison, aren't you excited?
Yes, yes, very excited, Dr. Cappuccino, because we need to be involved in these initiatives, just as there's a movement now regards to the activities and events occurring in the Middle East. We need to be concerned about activity that's going on within our own country, within our own nation, and be part of that. This peace initiative is a very important initiative, because the absence of peace is a war and chaos, and certainly don't want to get into no war, because it brings death, damnation, and destruction. So there's opportunity for everyone to get involved in the International Platform of Peace, mm-hmm. advocating peace. We have components that show people how to go about it within their communities, within their towns, villages, counties, states, and how we can be advocates for peace, and how we can promote these initiatives that cause us to get along with each other, understand each other's cultures and differences and so forth, and be able to live as one in a community and love one another as God has commanded that we do.
Right, because the adversary, if the Bible has told us that love never fails, we already know the copycat God. He ain't talking about no love. That's why you see wars, you hear rumors of wars, and most of all, you hear of people being some of the most vicious individuals that call themselves humans walking the face of the land. So we want everyone that wants to get involved, send an email to mothernature7@gmail.com. That is the work email for the International Platform for Peace. Also, a conjunction of that is Collision Ministries. We have some ministers that want to get something up and running for the beginning to what the end of the year. I mean, they really want to get themselves, told me they had almost 1,000 ready to go. So we'll be talking, Colonel Harrison and I, and some of you that want to be on our meeting schedule, which will be this coming week. Watch your emails, those that want to jump on a call. I'm not going to call it a Zoom. Many say, oh, Doc, I don't feel like getting dressed. I don't feel like putting my wig on right, or whatever it is. We'll have a conference call for those that are interested in being more than an eater and a drinker. I heard that this morning. The preacher said some are happy just getting up, eating and drinking. That's all they know. But God has said you will know the truth through his son, and the truth shall set you free, free from your foolishness. I have some relatives that I know God is getting ready to set me apart from. I was telling our assistant for CAG, Georgia Gregory, she's on here this morning. I just see that. It is high time to let Satan know He might own the world, or is allowed to rule it through a spiritual ownership. But we know God has the last word, and that's why when he appeared in heaven amongst the sons of God, Jehovah said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, no, where have you been?" He said, "Well, I just came from walking to and fro upon the earth." Somebody better listen and get real. If that's real, you better get real. He said, "Well, I don't know what you want up here. What do you want?" Because he was used to those meetings they would have there in heaven. This is real. And he said, "Well, I set my sight on Job, and he's only dealing with you for something to eat and drink." And that's really what this thing is about here on earth with some of us. And he said, "Well, go on and do your thing, but don't kill him." Now, isn't that some power? That same power, conversational power, is with us today. And that's why we're obligated to learn what we can. I heard the minister say Wednesday that on a Zoom call, he said that stop talking about going out. And he mentioned my name twice. He said, stop talking about going out. You first got to know something before you go out. You first got to know how to spell the word Nebuchadnezzar. You first got to know who Simon Magus is, the beginning of the Catholic Church. Who was he? The Bible says he was following Peter. And then after all them laid the rest, last one, John, wrote Revelation on the island of Patmos, 98. That's it. Here we come into the common era, 100. Pope, the papacy established 400 years later. Somebody better learn something. The more you know, the more powerful you get. The word is power. The more you know, it's power. And when you start setting that puzzle together, them pieces, you'll see you better stop playing, because he will shut you down. He'll shut everybody down around you, hang your head between your legs, wishing what could have been, but you, when you already knew what should have been. Hallelujah to God. Get ready. Get ready for the January Revival Assembly. Come on and join. It ain't for the fools. It's not for those that don't know how to love God in the way serve him that he approved. Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in. It's always a great joy. Without you, it'd be no global vision for living today. God bless you. Get ready to work coming January 2024. Have a great weekend in the Lord, not in the world, in the Lord. God bless you. Bye-bye.